And what exactly do you understand that the AI is doing from its implementation to detecting that pathogen?
So what it's done, they've taught the machine, they basically taught the machine to recognize what Legionella with the specific fluorescence would look like at 48 hours.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is John here from HC3. And tonight I have an exciting episode, really. And it's not really technical, but we're getting French. So you think about French onion, French soup, think about French cuisine. We're not going to talk about any of them. We're actually talking about Legionella. My guest tonight is Robert McNeely, who is the operations director and I would say savant within the HC3 organization, who's just come back from Paris, I believe, or somewhere in France anyway.
From Marseille.
Yeah. And we're going to catch up and talk a little bit about what he was doing over there and what this means for rapid Legionella detection and how he's going to be instrumental in teaching everybody out there who uses the MICA system. Rob, welcome back for another conversation, my friend. How are you?
Thank you, Jacques. I appreciate to be back and I'm doing pretty good. It was a good time in France. Dimadex, who was the manufacturer of MICA Advance, had us out for training and showing us how they came up with everything. And it was a great time. It was a great time. I learned a lot, met a lot of great, just amazing people at Dimadex. It was a good time.
It must have been interesting for you, Rob, because, I mean, when you think about it, there's been such a slowdown of dealing with Legionella, certainly here in the US, and we've had, so many setbacks and things, and it takes quite a while to detect, to send in stuff to the lab, to get everything detected. And then all of a sudden there's this breakthrough that we've been talking about, and now HC3 spearheading the MICA system in the US. Mm-hmm. But I guess that it must have been quite intriguing for you to go over to Marseille and to really get really into the nitty gritty of it, like how it came around and what did the training actually entail for you, and was there any like big aha moments that you figured out there, or some kind of wow, I didn't realize that was, and how easy it was to implement?
I think the training really did show that it's really not that complex, because this is the great thing about the MICA Advanced system is that it can do multiple solutions. So it can do Legionella, it can do E. coli, it can do Pseudomonas and even other organisms. And each one's a little bit different, but none of it's just, where you're going to spend weeks and weeks and weeks of training and still kind of be suspect on whether you're doing it right. They really made this a really simple system. And what was good and great actually about being there is they showed me, even from when they're putting it together, how they're putting this machine, all the science that went behind this. And I got to meet all the people that were behind this. I mean, they have a ton of PhDs behind this thing, just really young, actually a lot of young, really smart people that they put into this and came up with a great design. I mean, it is an awesome system, and you could tell they put a huge amount of thought and effort into this. And so that's one thing that I really learned while I was there is just how much they put into this, the effort that they put into this. I mean, there was nothing that they didn't leave unturned, whether it be with worrying about organisms that might, get false positives and so on. I mean, they really did their homework. So it was a great experience being there, really seeing, I even got to see them putting the machines together. I got to talk to the people behind the AI, behind the opticals. And you could see that, you know, they were very excited about what, you know, they were doing. So they brought a team together that put together an amazing system.
Do you know, I as you're telling me this, I can feel your excitement for it as well. Do you know, and I kind of, I get this vision of you, you know, Charlie in the chocolate factory, you know,
when
you,
where
you get into that point where you see, oh, wow, in awe of all the sweets and everything that's there. So I want to jump, you mentioned something that I want to jump back at, because we've been spearheading this is rapid Legionella detection, you know, rapid Legionella testing. But I think it's good to highlight the fact that you mentioned that it doesn't just detect Legionella. And so when people are getting trained on this or implementing this into their organizations, it's even more, it's like a twofer, but it's getting more because it detects a lot more.
Yeah, and each year it's detecting more and more. So beginning of next year, they're going to have a solution for it to be able to do total coliforms. They're constantly looking, and they're doing a lot of research. I mean, they, you know, usually going to labs, and you see some people, you know, they're kind of sitting back, just doing their own thing, you know, and just, you know, maybe doing a little bit of work here and there. No, these people, I mean, they're really putting the effort in. They see something.
That's amazing.
This is what I really noticed is that they really like what they're doing, and they're really into it. They know they're doing something that is making a difference, or they're producing something that is revolutionary. So they're, you can see that they're excited about it, and make me excited about it.
You can tell that just for your passion about it and being over and spending time there with the guys. And I think it's important also to distinguish, and you've hit the nail on the head there, is that they're excited about it. Like, to me, it feels like what you're telling me is, this is not a job for them. This is a mission, and this is a passion. And do you think then, did you see that from the highest level to the lowest? I mean, not that I want to say there's a high and a low level.
Really was. Yeah. No, what you're saying is absolutely. There was not a person there that I was like, oh, this is just a humdrum job. They're not really that into this. You know, this is just something that they're just passing the time where they're just collecting a check. The highest, you know, Sam, the CEO, he's excited about it as a person who's a technician. You can see they're very close knit, bunch of people that they've got from all over the world. Even they actually have people from the US, from Greece, that they've pulled together to, make sure that the stuff that they're putting out. And I think they also look at, do you have a passion for this? I don't know if Sam had, if that was part of his hiring practice, but if not, then it was just, you know, happenstance and just pure luck that he had gotten a bunch of good people. The person who heads off for the Legionella, Fanny, just super knowledgeable. And this is a great thing, is that I could not stump them with a question. I couldn't, you know, and I know a decent amount about microbiology, about Legionella.
Yeah, you do.
Couldn't. And even about, you know.
I often mention to people that you're the kind of nerd of the office. Like, you're kind of nerd out on this stuff, don't you?
Yeah, I geek out on this stuff. And you know, and so does David. That's why, you know, sometimes you get me and David together, and we just go nuts on this stuff. And we'll sit there for an hour. And sometimes I wish, oh, wow, we should have had this recorded, because it would have been good stuff when we geek out on it. I mean, for some people, it's just like, okay, there, that's too much. But for us, we really like it, because we see, this is the thing to talk about this, is that we see this being something that hasn't happened in this industry in a while, especially in dealing with water pathogens.
Yeah.
Something that is going to replace the quote gold standard eventually. I mean, that you're going to be able to get results, and the time, this is really what it is, in the time that will allow you to react properly.
I think that's remarkable. You're talking 48-hour turnaround, a very quick turnaround.
Yeah very quick. Everything's half time, at least half the time for all the solutions, and especially the Legionella having 48 hours to get results is remarkable.
Do you think, Rob, that this is potential? I know, and we mentioned the word game changing and revolutionary, mm-hmm. as you've said, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. do you also think that this has the potential to be life saving? And that's a bit of a gray area to say. I understand that, but it is.
But you can't help to say that because especially if there's outbreaks or something, and you're trying to find the outbreak, the source of the outbreak.
Yeah.
You're going to find it faster. You're going to find it faster, days faster. That means you're going to have days of people not being exposed once you find it. So you're going, I would say you're going to save lives by That's using phenomenal. The system, you know? And so, I mean, just the math, simple math should tell you so. I think it's great. And I think, you'll be able to, I think I've told this 1,000 times is that you'll be able to get go take your assessment or go take your sample, get results, take remedial action, take corrective actions, and then confirm your corrective actions with another sample by the time you can get results for your first round.
Wow.
Using the other methods, And so it's a win-win for everyone when it comes to, Legionella.
Would you say, Rob, that explain to me, tell me about their vision there, because it sounds like to me that they're very futuristic as well, because obviously they've integrated AI, but tell me more about Micah's vision and why you and Dave decided to share in that vision.
It's one of those things where Sam, who is the original person behind it all, or at least one of the couple of people that's behind it, came up with a process to be able to, put a sugar, allow sugar to be metabolized and to be exhibited on Legionella pneumophila, on the outer membrane. And that is what it was all behind. And it just kind of sparked them saying, well, if we could do this, how can we get this? We'll attach something to it. And then we could have AI, because AI is so great. And with optics today and with AI, we'll be able to get it to recognize it. And they just had this vision. And that's the thing about them, is that they're visionaries. They don't think, oh, that just can't be done. They're thinking, how can we get it done? And all of them seem to be that kind of mentality. Everybody within that organization is just like, we don't say, oh, that just can't be done.
That reminds me, Rob. That's
how
the
can
Henry,
we get that done?
That's like the Henry Ford effect. Remember that, went to do the eight cylinder engine, and he was like, can't be done. And he was like, it can be, and we're going to find a way, and don't come out of that room until you've solved it. And they did.
Yeah.
Because he was a visionary.
And Diamondex definitely has that mentality of there's nothing they're not going to be able to do. This is where I think it's kind of where I'm sure, like with Ford, you have a lot of people pushing back because they're saying that's not possible.
Well, that's it. You had Henry Ford. Some of the engineers were like, it's impossible. It's not going to happen.
It's impossible. And so I think with Diamondex and with Micah, especially Micah Advance, I think some people are kind of like, okay, where's the catch? This just can't be possible. There has to be something wrong, because it seems like, it seems like anything that's come out, especially dealing with Legionella, there's a yeah, but. And really, we're having a hard time finding that with this system.
What fascinates me as well, Rob, is that you mentioned that they were so futuristic in their thinking and their vision that they brought in AI. Now, obviously, AI is a huge thing at the moment, but there's also risks associated to it. And we've talked about this in HC3. There's risk with the AI data centers, but how did they decide to integrate this AI? And what exactly do you understand that the AI is doing from its implementation to detecting that pathogen?
So what it's done is basically they've taught it. They've taught it what Legionella at a certain time of growth within a certain process that certain process of that they implemented within this, whether it be chemical, biological, increasing time, growth lag, cutting down lag phase, and all these different things. They've taught the machine. They basically taught the machine to recognize what Legionella with the specific fluorescence would look like at 48 hours, and Legionella pneumophila. And so they've taught it over thousands and thousands of samples, showing it that this is correct, that is incorrect, and then it learning, and then confirming that it's learning, and that it's learned that.
I was going to ask you
what it looks like.
I was going to ask you if it was continuing to learn, because obviously
once it's in the machine, it's no longer learning. It's still set, but they're continually working on it, and they're always making sure that it hasn't, that it doesn't devolve. It doesn't. And if there's other organisms, like one of the things that they were talking about was, there's another method that has problems with pseudomonas. And with some types of pseudomonas, and so they were like, oh wow, well, we got to make sure that the machine recognizes that that's not Legionella, like the other system, the other method.
I find that fascinating that they're actually trying to discern between the pathogens as well.
Yeah, and they tested it a lot, and showed that no, it does not recognize pseudomonas as Legionella. Especially this specific species, and so they really, that's what I'm saying. It's almost like they're like, hey, look, we came up with this great idea. Let's try to break it.
I
love
that.
Let's see what we can do to mess with it. And if you can come up with something, give it to us, because we're going to try to see if we can. Because they're standing behind it, and they want to make sure that nobody's going to come to them and say, it did this. Or it did that, and they haven't. Nobody has. Knock on wood. Obviously, nothing is perfect, but we have seen this thing in action, and it's and seen hundreds of samples that it's taken, and it's amazing.
Before I get to your training and get to you going out and then teaching, people that come to us at HC3 who want to get it, I want to talk a little bit, because I read something recently. I should have noted it down. Dave's always saying to me, if you see it, note it down. I never noted it down. Yeah. And it was Legionella pneumophila. It was a serotype 3, and there was a death that was occurred because of this serotype. And so this is different to LP, Legionella pneumophila 1. Mm-hmm. And my question then is the MICA system going to be able to identify the different serotypes of Legionella? Because obviously there seems to be some kind of metamorphosis of the pathogen that's becoming a different serotype and getting stronger and causing health concerns.
Yeah. So at this point, it cannot discern between the serotypes. It can just tell you it's Legionella pneumophila.
Right.
But you can continue. This is the great thing about this system and the method is that it doesn't destroy the colonies. They're still viable. So you can actually still continue to culture them. And then you can do the normal test that you would do on them to determine their serogroup. Like we do with ISO.
Yeah. So getting into that. So obviously it I guess it's probably something they'll continually keep developing, and maybe they'll get some breakthrough with certain things like that. But it, I mean, what they've done at the moment is remarkable. And so let's get into a little bit of the training then. So when you were there and you were learning about the system, not just because obviously you want to get to the point where you're going to be training the other one. What was the most important factors that in the training that you learned, or you thought, okay, this is, I got to get this down because this is going to be important for people out there, you know, within the industry?
I think it, you know, it's funny. The most important stuff that you really need to know is just the steps. Right. And the steps are pretty much it. The one thing that I think most people freak out about, I know when we were doing the training and when I witnessed other people doing training, is, you know, you don't want bubbles under the you know, people are going to be like, what bubbles? So when you're to put it on the plates and everything and you do the stuff, you don't, you know, you put some solution down and you, when you put the membrane down on the plate or onto the cassettes for it to read, you don't want bubbles under there because it will make an issue for the machine to read it, or the nutrients won't get to the organism in the membrane, and there's all kinds of other issues. So that's the biggest thing that people were freaking out. I mean, that is what people were most concerned about. Outside of that, it's not hard. If anybody's ever done some type of ISO sampling where they did filtration, you know, did through filtration, not direct plate, they're going to have no problem with this. The only thing that they'll have to do that they normally not really too concerned about is making sure there's no bubbles under the membrane. That's pretty much it.
Did you get to do that yourself? So like taking and then getting the bubbles in. Did you have any bubbles, or did you get it right all the time?
I got it right all the time.
You're going to say that anyway. Get off.
The thing is that and they show you how to get rid of the bubbles. I mean, that's the thing. You're going to get them, but you know, the process they really reinforce. And so repetitiveness. I mean, I know that the lab that's using it right now in the U.S., when they first started, you know, they were, oh my God, you know, then once now you talk to them, they're like, this is
simple. Easy.
This is easy. It's easy. And, you know, there's nothing really difficult about it. You know, you're not have to really sit there and look. You're not the one doing the reading of the samples. The machine does it. You know, all you're doing is just prepping it. And so it's a stepwise, it's not a huge amount of steps, you know, and so it's, you know, the thing is there, the steps are a little bit different between each type of solution. And so when I was there, I learned all of them. And so there's some steps that are different. If you've done them 10 times, you get it.
And is the solutions, per different type of bacteria, so for different pathogens, different solutions,
correct. And they call them solutions. So it's just a different way of doing it. So if you're using, say, for example, if you're doing it for the Bacillus organism, they're looking for, I always murder the name, so I hate even saying. So it's one that is spoilage for juices, and it requires a specific type of filtering and incubation, depending on the method that you normally would use. So there's a lot of different things that you would learn if you are doing that solution. Whatever organism you're looking for, there is some differences between the organisms on how you prep them. There's not a huge amount. So it's not like you have to completely learn something completely new. There's just some steps you might have to add or some steps that are removed, that are not required. So outside of that, I mean, it's nothing that, anybody who works in a lab could not do.
What about someone that comes to you, Rob, and they're not working in a lab, but obviously they're a consultant and they're out there, they're doing mm-hmm. testing. How does it benefit them, and do they essentially just send it to the lab, or yeah. if they're working for an organization, let's say they're in the leisure industry, would they have one of these machines in there, or is this strictly for the labs?
No, I mean, it depends on the organization. I'm sure there might be some organizations that take a lot of samples,
yeah.
and it would benefit them to have it on site.
That's what I'm thinking.
Or the cruise lines and,
yes.
and, you know, it would be beneficial. And I do know that they did put one on a ship, and I think it's being trialed right now.
That's what I'm thinking. And would this also be like in say, maybe the hotel industry or even
hotels,
on airplanes and
yeah hotels, maybe large
hospital
complexes, healthcare complexes, large
right.
ones,
hospitals, of course, hospitals, because Pseudomonas
yeah
not
yeah,
just exactly. Legionella, but Pseudomonas is rife mm-hmm. in hospitals,
yeah, so yeah, all of those would be something that it would very much benefit them outside of just a commercial lab. But I think that those could definitely be put anywhere. And the training is very, very, you know, you don't need to have a PhD or a degree in microbiology to do what to do.
So I was going to ask you about that, actually. What does the training entail? And so if you're going to
know, training.
It's how long? 2 days. 2 days.
2 days of training, and you will be efficient at this.
Did you do the 2 days training while you were there, or is that what you would have
Correct.
To teach
I did.
Somebody?
I did. We did a training for all the solutions. So
right.
so and then also with Legionella, I was onboarding with the lab in the U.S. I was there for that training, those 2 days worth of training also. So I've, especially with Legionella, I've had 2 times the training for that.
Because
but,
you're going to be
the
going
other
out.
Solutions, yeah. And so it was 2 days, and, you know, and it was hands-on. It was not one of those things where they just, you know, had some, you know, person up in the front of the room just talking, this is how you do it. No, they were like, okay, this is how you do it. Now you do it. And you know, and you keep on doing it until you do it right.
I think that also that also signifies what the company is about, what Dimedex mm-hmm. is about, what Sam's team is about,
mm-hmm.
to actually make everybody hands on, do it over and like repetition, do it over and over again, and get it right. I don't remember, you know, days, you know, when I trained in close protection, and we trained on drills, diamond formation, and you continually train. I guess it's the same thing with that repetition, with that constant training, you're getting it into a natural response, you get it into your head. If you go yeah. to someone, what type of qualifications, you say you don't need a PhD, but what kind of background, someone who's going to be involved in this in either the healthcare industry, I mean, a lab is we all, you know, every, you know, they're qualified in a lab, but the healthcare industry yeah. or the leisure industry, what would you expect someone who's operating this to be at what level?
Well, I mean, obviously, if it's in a lab, I mean, you would expect that somebody would be a lab tech at least, or something
yeah,
like that.
They're going to know.
But to tell you the truth, if you can read and write and do simple math, where you can pipette something into and do some simple measurements,
you're good.
You could do this. It is nothing that it doesn't require any special training, like previous training, like you don't have to be a microbiologist. You don't
That's
have normal. To
so
be.
I can read and write. Obviously,
you
I might
could,
not talk the right way,
Jack,
but I'm
could
qualified.
Do it. You are qualified. You are qualified.
You can do it. You can do it.
You can do it. Yes. I mean, I don't want to say it's absolute idiot proof, but it's pretty close. I mean, obviously you can mess things up if you spill something or, drop something, obviously. But outside of that, it's really simple. A couple, you do a little bit of pipettes. You don't have to worry about titrations and doing
Wow.
these kind of things. And that's not. And you don't have to worry about, oh, well, what organism am I looking at? And that's where most of the training really comes from for like ISO and some of the other methods is can you recognize what the organism is? With this method, you don't have to have that skill
Wow.
because
And
the
I
machine
noticed
has
as
that
well
skill.
from the data that gives out and the AI detection, and I mean you have imagery
And
that's
it takes an
given your
image of it. That's
story.
the great thing. Yeah, it takes an image of it. So you have to figure
That's
it takes
nuts.
hundreds of photos of this. It takes hundreds of photos of this, this membrane that has the organism on it that's grown to micro colony size. And it analyzes every single spot, every single pixel on there. It analyzes.
Wow.
And it can do it. It can do all 300 photos and analyze them and give you a result within a minute.
You know, it's
And
crazy. I almost want to test. It's like, even me sitting here now, I'm amazed at what I've read, what I've studied, and stuff like that. And there's still a part of me, Rob, that's like, it's too good to be true. It sounds too good to be true. It seems to be total fail-safe here. So, is there a
just about.
downside at all?
We're trying to find it. As
Oh, that's a
HC3, we're trying to find it. I think Diamondex is
diplomatic
trying to find
answer.
it.
I like that.
We're trying to find it. And we haven't found it yet. Obviously it is not a perfect system. I mean, if it was really, really awesome, everybody be, hey, look, it get done in 5 minutes and we'd have all the information, serotype, everything. But,
Do you think it'll even? I
outside,
mean, it's rapid detection at what,
it's
48
really
hours?
rapid. It's
It's
really
rapid
rapid
detection of
compared
Legionella.
culture. And this is the thing, and this is where I would say to consultants, if you submit your sample to someone that's using the Mica Advance, you can be assured that if you took that sample to another lab that's using the Mica Advance, and to another lab that's taking and using the Mica Advance, and to a different lab that's using the Mica Advance, you would get roughly within, what would be a biological, significant. The numbers would match. And I would challenge you to do that with the ISO. Go
Wow.
ahead and take a sample, submit it to five different labs, and see how close they are to each other.
Which we
And you will
know is not going
see
to be close because there's been
they're
so
not
many
going to.
examples.
No, and and we've experienced that. I mean, we've taken side by side samples with CDC and with
Yeah.
others, and it depends on what lab you send it to what kind of results you're going to get with ISO. And so that's why with this, I don't care what lab you send it to.
Wow.
If they use the Mica system, the Mica Advance, you're going to get a number that is accurate.
I think it's
And
important now, Rob, for us to make it clear that this is a little bit of FOMO, your fear of missing out. For those that are running labs that are out there, you got to get on the bandwagon now because other labs are going to be ahead of the game and consultants are going to be choosing their lab to go to.
and it used to be because I know for HC3, there's labs that we use and there's labs that we don't
Yeah.
because we have seen the difference in between labs when it comes to ISO.
Wow.
So with this, we see that there's no difference with Mica. I don't care if you are, quote, a good lab or you're a bad lab. The machine is the one that's going to be. It doesn't matter, how well you follow the ISO, because the problem with the ISO is that nobody follows it 100%. They all have their own different versions of it. Because if you ask the labs, how many plates do you run? Each one is probably going to tell you a different amount, you know, and how do you prep it? Where do you get your media and where do you get this and this? And it's always different, you know? And so you're going to get different results when it comes to ISO. With
what would you mica, say? What would you say, Rob, is the accuracy level to this? Like, if you measure it in a percentage.
I think it's 97, 98, somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
That's quite a bold statement.
That's quite bold.
And they've backed that up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've proven it.
Let's talk a little bit about the financial implications, because what I tend to, not about buying the system or getting it into the laboratory, but I would suggest, or I would consider, that this is, whilst there's going to be an outlay, this is going to be a potential money saver, not only in time and effectiveness, but obviously time to remediation, because you get the it should have a good return on investment, and also potentially, and I don't know if we've ever talked about this, and I certainly haven't talked about this to David as well, is that there may be potential positive legal implications that would reduce the possibility of lawsuits.
I'm sure there probably could be. Exactly how, I don't know, because when it comes to litigation, that stuff gets a little weird on why people sue about certain things and don't about others, you know. And especially in the industry I'm in, there's a lot of times I'm like,
you can sneeze the wrong way and get snoozed. Sneezing get sued.
You know, it's kind of like, why are you going after that? No, why are you going after that person? You know, especially when it comes to exposures and stuff like that. It's like, they're not even the ones that, that caused the exposure. They're just the ones that maybe didn't necessarily stop it. But, you're not going after the one that actually caused the exposure. You're going after the one that had a potential chance of stopping the exposure. And so I'm like, I don't understand why they go after who they go after. I think it always has to do with who has the deepest pockets. But
that's exactly what it is, at the end of the day. But I suppose, though, this system has a potential money saving implication to it in order to time the operation, really, time the deployment.
It really does. Because, I don't know exactly. I would say this, the cost for the samples, just say the cost for the samples are going to be equivalent or less than what you're paying for ISO.
Yeah.
And you're going to get it much faster. And so I would say this is, and when you say about litigation and how you're saying saving lives, I think that's where it would save somebody a lot of money, is because either you're going to be paying for, two people, or you're going to be paying for seven people.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That is going to save you money. And
in the long run, it's saving you. And this is who I think should, and this is my own personal opinion, I don't see how insurance companies would not insist on companies using MICA, because
it's so accurate
and so specific that insurances are the ones that are paying these big bills. And I don't understand why they would not. And a lot of them, I know I've seen a case, we had a case, I spoke about before, that where the insurance company only covers Legionella pneumophila.
Wow.
So why are you looking for anything else? And plus, which David, I know we'll be talking about is, and sometime fairly soon, about, new report that came out that they've looked at all the cases in that have happened, all the outbreaks.
Yeah.
And there's only, and 99% of them are LP. So I understand why insurance companies aren't paying for the other stuff, because why are you worrying about an organism that doesn't cause disease?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm paying all this money.
It's funny. I never thought of it, Rob. I never thought that this would have a massive implication as well in the insurance industry.
Absolutely.
And now it's making me think that it is something that we should be pushing towards insurance companies, that they bring this into their operation and make it mandatory?
Yeah. If you're going to do monitoring, that they're going to be covering if there's an outbreak and they're covering it. I don't see why they would not require you to do the assessment with MICA.
Especially when you've got 98% efficacy on it. I mean,
It's crazy. It's specific and it's accurate. And that's the thing about it. You're not going to find another method that's better. You know, it won't give you the species, but why are you worrying about species? Which I know David will definitely jump on that one. I know you guys are going to be talking about that one because he's like, why are we looking at species?
I know. And that's why I've tried a couple of times. I'm like, yeah, what about the species about it? Can I identify the species? No, I get it. You don't really care what the species is. It just needs to identify it.
Yeah, you need to know which one is the one causing the disease, and let's find that one. Now, if you're in a healthcare facility, you know, it might be a little bit different because, you know, those are a little bit more susceptible to the Legionella pneumophila. Mm-hmm. But even those, still 80-90% of those are even LP. So, you know, you definitely would want to use this even in the healthcare system or even in the long-term care and places like that, because it's going to let you know that you have a problem, hopefully, before you know you have a problem, you know.
Let's talk a little bit. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit because I find it interesting, and I suppose I'm actually going to do this just for my own interest, you know, geeking out myself, is Pseudomonas and NTMs. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're focusing on LP1 because that's what the problem. But there is an issue with Pseudomonas and NTMs in the healthcare industry as well.
Yes.
Right. And I know that it's not supposed to be reported, yada yada. But I take it though that the industry or the healthcare industry has to really look at this as a potential and bringing in something like MICA that can do this is almost putting layers of bulletproof on their operation.
Yeah. Now, especially, you know, like Pseudomonas, it could definitely help out. I mean, they don't have NTMs. It can't do NTMs yet. I don't want to say yet, you know.
I like how you say actually, because that's a possibly.
I would like to think that they will. You know, NTMs are just a unique organism, but I could say with the technology that they have, it would not surprise me in a year or two that they have it, that they could get it from usually like the 50-day mark that usually takes for these things, 50 days to a week or two.
See, that's what I'm finding fascinating because we have a saying in Scotland, you know, blessed is he who bloweth his own trumpet, but you're blowing their trumpet. Mm-hmm. Because of how forward thinking and how dynamic they are with it, and obviously the AI is developing, they're teaching, they're learning. I would suggest that this is how it's going to develop. This is how I can see it developing, that eventually it's going to be able to detect NTMs.
I would think so. You know, they won't say that that's what they're looking at or anything to us.
Shall probe him when we're chatting next.
there you go. And Sam's a good guy. And he's going to smile at you and say, you know, so, I believe that they got to be. They've got to be.
They've got to be because that's a growing concern, NTMs.
Oh, and I'm telling you, and if they could, I mean, I think, knowing Sam and knowing his crew, that looks like a big mountain. And they seem like the type of people like, the bigger the mountain, the more we want to climb it. And so
Did you get that impression from their team that like it was like we're going to just try and crack everything?
Yes. Yeah. They're like, give us a challenge. And tell it was almost like, give us a challenge and tell us we can't do it.
I love that. I think that's brilliant.
I mean, he has definitely, that's one thing.
He seems to have this idea that you tell me I can't do it, I'm going to show you that I can.
And the thing is that he has not an air about him. And none of his team does either. That's what's amazing. You know, usually with people that are that brilliant, usually have a couple that might be a little, you know, have a little air to them, you know, a little, you know, no, none.
Nothing.
Very modest. Like, even if you look at him, he won't even tell you that he's a PhD. And
that's
crazy. You ask him, he won't, none of them will say, hey, look, none of them will say they're PhDs. None of them.
I'm looking forward.
They will. But if they introduce themselves and say, hey, look, this is who I am, they're not going to say, anything. They don't, you know, put some type of facade out there saying, hey, look, I'm greater than thee. And so, yeah, and all of them are that way. They're very modest people, but man, they're hardworking and smart. I mean, I've seen some of the technology, and because I've been at the benefit of being able to see their whole workings and how they come up with these things and the process that they did to come up with these things. And it's amazing.
Wow.
Even the machine itself, engineer Eric, guy that.
Oh, you got to chat to the engineer?
Eric is the engineer that came up with the system, or one of them. I don't say he's the only one. And he showed me layer by layer. I mean, he has it to the screw.
Wow.
On how this thing's designed. I mean, and he's come up with like the auto feeder that, because they can do 18 samples at a time. The auto feeder, he designed that from scratch. He did that.
Wow.
That thing was.
Is that a bigger volume than doing the testing in any other way? 18 samples at one time?
Well, this is the thing. That machine can do 500 samples in 8 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
And spit out the results of all those samples.
That is, that's, you could not hire enough people probably to be able to do it at that kind of pace with the ISO.
That's nice.
Yeah, because they're only spending like four. I mean, Fanny, who's the person that came up with the one for Legionella, helped with the one. She's the one that really spearheaded the Legionella portion of MICA. I think she said she could do it less than 4 minutes, but the total handle time for a sample from beginning to end is about 4 minutes.
Wow.
Where with ISO, a good lab tech is probably around 20. I mean, that's somebody who's been doing it for decades.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've seen some of them up as long as 30, 40 minutes.
Bloody
hell.
So
this thing could theoretically be 10 times faster than.
Well, that's more. It's more than 10 times, isn't it? I mean, that's so crazy.
Yeah. And so, you know, you don't have to have, you know, that's the great thing about it is you don't have to have a highly educated individual to do this. And they don't have to spend near as much time per sample. So it's a great thing. And even when I was doing it, I was probably doing it probably around 6 minutes, 7 minutes, maybe a sample.
That's still remarkably fast.
And that's me being slow.
I mean, because you're not a lab
tech. Sure, that I'm going real slow.
Making sure you don't get the bubbles in.
Yeah, make sure I don't get those bubbles. Yeah.
You mentioned that, and I think back to when I've got the iPhone and I'm trying to put on a new glass cover to it.
That's harder.
Really?
You know, that's harder. Because when you try to spread it out.
You get the bubble and you're like, I can't get the bubble. And then you get really annoyed with it. And then you take it off and you snap the freaking thing and then you go to your next one.
Yeah.
You get another.
Exactly. Okay, your fourth one. Finally got it. Yes.
I know. The amount of freaking covers I've gone over because the bubbles are there. So I imagine it's like that, you know. Get the bubble in.
So and so the amount of time that people have to spend on this is really not much at all. And on any of the solutions. Now you have the MICA highlight, which does a total viable count. That machine, it does take a little bit longer. It can only do, I want to say only. It does like a sample every 4 minutes or something like that. 4 or 5 minutes, and because it uses a little bit different type of system, and that one is even amazing. It doesn't use fluorescence; it uses just white light.
Wow!
And it's amazing. What they have done with these systems is amazing. And that one is like, even for total viable count, normally you're waiting 72 hours for results. This is 24 to 48.
Crazy.
So yeah, so it just depends on the, yeah, so it's amazing.
Tell me about the because obviously there's a maintenance, right? Tell me about the maintenance, maybe the labs or the consultants who are using it on site would need to know about.
The maintenance is very minimal. The machine just goes and goes and goes. Now every year you should do make sure like the, it's calibrated, and we would do that for you, just to make sure. And if it's off any, it'll let us know, and then it's just an adjustment. And the only thing that would even need any, unless something breaks, obviously then that's a whole different situation. Then it's probably would not be functional. But they've done thousands and thousands and thousands of samples on these machines,
And it's been
and
fine.
they don't they've well they've done a really good job of building these things. Not to say, somebody can't break one,
No,
but
anything can be broken. I mean, I'm the guy that's going to throw something down that's unbreakable, and knowing my luck, it's going to fall off a table and break.
Exactly. And it does have sensitive optics, so throwing it around is probably not the best thing for it. But even that,
It
it would let
looks
you
fairly
know.
small. It doesn't look like it's a massive unit.
No, it's a little bit bigger than this, so it's not huge by any means. No. And I've seen it taken apart, and I've seen every bit of it, and it is
That must have been fascinating to see.
it was definitely high tech, and they make that thing from hand.
Is
They
every one of them are made from
every one
hand?
of them is made by hand, yeah. So, and they have a long
Wow.
QC process for each machine. So it goes through the motion of getting handmade to going through QA/QC, and if there's any adjustments that have to be made, then make them. And then yeah, it's an amazing machine. It really is.
I'm so glad that you went over and you spent time there and got to actually see not everything from scratch, but to see how passionate the company and everything is, and now that you can bring that passion back from France, which Dave and I noticed that there was no French presence that came back from France, from you, from anybody. Gifts, French, none. I'm sure. You must have brought something back for the team, no?
I did, but I don't think it was French. I was being let's put it this way, my whole time there was either in my hotel room or at working with them. I mean, Sam did take me to place a restaurant on the Mediterranean. That was beautiful.
Nice.
And
They looked
but
after you then.
yeah, they did, but it was that was it. I didn't go sightseeing. I didn't it was work. But I had a good time.
That's
I did
brilliant.
have a good
I love
time.
that. I love that you went over to work. And I think that's the difference that people can see in this is that it's a passion and it's not a job.
No.
And so if you
And
had a good time on that learning, because you're going to take that. So I guess, when people come to HC3 to get this system implemented, you're going to be the one going to be implementing it and teaching them and training them on that. So it's imperative that you share that passion and that excitement, which clearly
Oh
from
yeah.
our conversation or discussion, you definitely have that passion and excitement for what's happening.
Yeah, yeah, and I think I kind of caught that from them. And their
It's
passion for
infectious.
it is really infectious, and the system is, when you see somebody put a lot of passion, especially people of talent that put a lot of passion, it's like an artist. You know, when you see a really good artist who is passionate about their art, have a huge amount of passion about their art, produce their art, it's amazing. And that's pretty much what this is like.
That's crazy.
Their artistry has produced something that is amazing.
That's fascinating. Rob, thank you for joining me tonight. I think, you know, this has been a great conversation and it's been fun. And let everybody know about contacting you, particularly for Micah, and you know, how they can work with you and the training that they will receive. Just give everybody an idea about how it would go.
So basically, what would happen is if a lab contacted us and was interested in the Micah Advanced, we can obviously, you know, give them all the information, because, you know, people are not just going, hey, look, give me one. We will answer any questions that you have. And if you are interested, we can, you know, for at least for a short bit now, we will even let you try it out. Let you see how it is. And
try it before you buy.
Yes, right. Drive it before you buy. And we will even give you some of the media for free to try it out. And because we know you're going to like it. We know you are. And so what would it take is I would even come up, train your staff on how to use it.
Perfect.
And even give you some. We would also verify that you can use it. So we would show you how to use it with samples that we know have a specific amount of Legionella pneumophila in it. Yeah. And then over time, within a week or so, after training, you would also use these another sample of that's been prepared that you would verify that you can actually still use it. We'd look to see what the numbers you come up with. And then you can use it and verify, validate it, do all the things you try to validate that the process works, compared to your own ISO, which be prepared that it's probably going to show you that your ISO is suspect.
Out.
You know, I'm not saying that for all labs, but there's labs out there that I would say, it's probably going to
point and no fingers.
I'm not going to point any fingers. I think that's the thing too, is that some of these labs that I think, you know, their ISO is probably not the greatest in the world. This definitely will level that playing field for them. And so we would come out, and then after 3 months, you say, you know, you like it, you buy it. And if not, we'll take it back. And if you want to check out that system, though, please just go ahead and go to our website, which I think Shock will, you will.
I'll do my hc3fl.com, and I'll give you a little shout out on that later on. But yeah, go to the website, ladies and gentlemen, hc3fl.com. Contact Rob or David, but more than likely contact Rob, because he's the guy that's going to be implementing it, and he's the guy that can tell you all about it. And if you want to try it before you buy it. I kind of sound as if I'm going to be like one of these TV commercials, like, and if you buy it within the next 24 hours, we'll send you not one, but two. Obviously, we won't do that, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to.
But, you know, for some of the earlier adopters, we have definitely, you know, helped them out. And absolutely. So the earlier you get on this, the faster you can put it out and start utilizing it, because I do know that people are interested in it. And so
absolutely. It's making a stir in the industry. We've already seen that, you know, the information that we're putting out there, press release that we're putting out there. We've got a lot more talks coming up as well, guys. And
some really good
join ones. Myself and Rob and Dave and Sam. We're coming up with a great discussion soon. And one of the labs, that's going to be great.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I am as well, because I'm also going to be probing Sam. I told him that. Remember the other day, I'm going to probing Sam on the story and how he, you know, is cooking his steak and came up with the idea.
Brilliant guy.
It is actually really nice. I'm looking forward. And that's, you know, well, we're doing this tomorrow, our conversation, ladies and gentlemen. You may not get this until a bit later because, you know, we've got to edit this and do everything else with it. But certainly join us. There's going to be a lot more of talks and discussions and information coming up, and also some consultants that's coming on that we've got planned that we're going to be talking all about it. And just, again, contact Rob for any questions you have. If you've listened to this and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I got a question, I've got an idea, or I want to know what he said, how can I implement it, drop us a line on the website, hc3fl.com. You can connect with us even on LinkedIn. You'll see Rob on LinkedIn as well. You can connect with him, ask him any questions there. We will be delighted to help you with that and answer any questions you have. Rob, it's been a pleasure having you on tonight, my friend.
Always,
it's been good.
Always,
good fun. There's a lot more coming up. Looking forward to getting Sam and Florence and everybody else on as well. And hearing about your next escapades, when you start going out and teaching people, we'll get you back on and we'll have you chatting about all the teaching and the project management that you're doing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that.
You can tell your passion's there, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. And I think I really do think everybody should be excited about it, because it's in our industry, we've needed something like this for a while.
Well, you know, even since I've come in and working in the industry for a short space of time, I've seen the problems at firsthand that it has solved. And that can only be a good thing.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us this evening. Thank you. You're listening to this at any time in the morning, the afternoon, any time, have a wonderful day, have a wonderful evening. Contact us again, hc3fl.com. This is myself, John from HC3, and Rob McNeely. Keep yourself safe. We'll see you the next time. God bless.